Yo, yo, yo. Welcome to the NS9 postgame show powered by Primanti Brothers. I'm your host, Anthony DiNardo. With me, we got Jim Rosati. Jim, another loss.
Another loss, another frustrating loss, to say the least. 4-2. And it's just the bats. The bats again. Like, they were two runs. You're just not going to win games when you score two times.
The ironic thing is, like you say the bats, but actually the bats kind of came alive today. I mean, they were hitting the ball. They weren't striking out as much. It's just, just no damage. Runners in scoring position. They went, two for seven? Let me look this up now.
But I think it was just
one for seven. Yeah. Yep. 1 for 7. I mean, they had, we'll get to this, but they had bases loaded with one out and they just struck out back-to-back times. Like, to me, that was the thing. I think the approach was better today. I think, you know, again, like, offensively, they looked a bit better than they have in the past eight games. But they just couldn't capitalize at all. Keep the comments.
Yeah, I mean, Brian Reynolds had a good game. He was spraying the ball all over the field, 3 for 4. But it's just the rest of the guys. Connor Joe came in, you know, with the pinch hit home run. I have no complaints about Connor Joe or Brian Reynolds. That's pretty much the only two people I don't have complaints on right now. Edward Olivares, maybe to an extent. But the rest of these guys, they need to play better. They need to play better. And I mean, you get 9 hits today, 3 walks. That's 12 base runners you get on the base paths. And you can only bring across 2 of them. We're still going into the same problem where, yeah, they were getting on base, but like, no one is driving the ball. No one is hitting extra base hits on this team. No one is driving in runs. No one is coming through in opportune times. I'm not saying you've got to go and hit 500 with runners in scoring position, but someone on this team needs to
hit the baseball.
Somebody on this team needs to hit a ball hard somewhere and drive it and get extra base hits. The 2 extra base hits today. How many extra base hits have we had all week? 5? I think 5 extra base hits this week, and 2 of them have been from Aleca Williams.
Yeah. It's rough, man. And that's what I wanted to say. It's like, I mean, the bats were better today. They weren't sitting there being as patient as they have before. Like, I saw a little bit more aggressiveness out of them. I'll say that. It's just like the bats weren't good, though. And especially, as mentioned, you know, runners in scoring position. So it was just a combination of just bad everything. I mean, we can talk about that first inning as well. I mean, Mitch Keller pitched today. He looked decent. It was just a weird first inning. I mean, talk about the bats, but also defensively, like, this wasn't good. Just all around. I mean, it's just the Buccos' woes.
I mean, they're playing bad baseball right now.
Yes.
That first inning, yeah, I mean, kind of set the tone for the game. First off, some pretty bad umpiring there. Like, there was a walk where I think Mitch Keller threw like 6 strikes during the at-bat and somehow walked the guy. But then also there was an easy double play that Cruz missed. It's just not taking advantage of the opportunities that are given to him. They came into today too as the worst fielding team in baseball, by the way. Just the defense has been atrocious. And when you add that in, with the frustration on offense, it just hasn't been enjoyable baseball the last week.
Nope. It's really it. Like you said, I mean, it starts off with the triple, you know, Mitch Keller gives up the triple, and then the dribbler down the third baseline, and Hayes, you know, you can argue that play. I mean, he plays it to see if it's going to go foul. It's foul, no harm, no damage. It stays fair. The run scores. The runner scored regardless, but then you don't get the out at first. But like you said, with a double play, that would have been no harm either in that sense, because Triolo gets, you know, a good defensive play, hits it over to Cruz. Cruz gets the out of second, bobbles it, doesn't get the double play. Ends up pawning them because it could have been a 1-0 game. It should have been a 1-0 game. Ends up being 2-0 because that run is safe. They don't get the double play there, which should have happened. And yeah, there's a lot of wonkiness in that first inning. Like you said, the umpire was really squeezing Keller. Now, mind you, it seemed like it changed. I thought that was going to set the tone for the entire game. It seemed like just that half inning was really bad umpiring. Then after that, it was a normal called game, I would say. But yeah, it just, like you said, that first inning felt like it just set the tone. It was just bad from the start, and it just continued.
Yeah. I mean, where do we want to start? Where do we want to go with this?
We just complained for
six minutes. I guess at some point we got to talk about like the actual game a little bit. But yeah, I mean, that first inning, 2-0, the Red Sox get ahead. Pirates do come back and they scratch across a run with the Jared Triolo single. Then you know, Keller makes another mistake. I thought Keller did a good job settling in after that first inning in particular.
I agree.
He went in, you know, the innings 2 through 5 looked great. He was on cruise control. He made a mistake in that sixth inning, and Yoshida made him pay for it. And when the offense is performing the way they are right now, and you're pitching and you're not perfect, that's the difference, right? In some of these games. And like Keller, I thought, was fine for the majority of today, but he wasn't perfect. And in order to win today, Keller had to be perfect, and he wasn't.
Yeah, I agree. Again, like that one walk earlier shouldn't have happened. But regardless, like it did. 4 walks in a day. I mean, you saw him walk maybe a little more than you wanted, as Doug alluded here too. The mistake happened after was it a 4-pitch walk to Pablo Reyes, I believe, too?
It was a walk. I don't know if it was a 4-pitch walk, but yeah,
I can't remember
walk Pablo Reyes, which is not an ideal thing you want to do.
Exactly. So yeah, the mistake comes with the guys on base. Now it ends up being 4-2, which again, like it should have been only 3-2 if that double play was made. Like that's why that one run made a difference in this game to that degree. But to your point though, like a run is so important. It's such a big uphill battle, like, you know, a one-run mistake because this team just can't score. Even if it was just 3-2, this team wasn't winning this game, which it should have been 3-2. Just, it's rough, man. You know, like you say, and then people say, like, well, you can't talk about this person because this is what's bad. No, you can talk about everybody because everyone's terrible. When the Pirates are winning and everyone looks good, we get to talk about everyone playing well. I don't care who's playing well. You're all getting sprayed right now with bad verbiage. But yeah, you know, it's just this offense is terrible right now, and it's not doing anyone any help.
Yeah. Do you want to know how terrible this offense is, DiNardo? I did a little bit of
tell
research
me, Jim. Before
coming on here. All right. We're gonna talk about 5 guys in particular. Let's start with Jack Suwinski.
Okay.
All right, Jack Suwinski with a 557 OPS on the year. Do you know who had a higher OPS as a Pirate than Jack Suwinski right now? Kai Tom. Kai Tom was a better Pittsburgh Pirate than Jack Suwinski is right now. That's the
take
territory.
Take that, fucko, Mike.
That's the territory win right now. So when I'm saying this, I'm just trying to bring across like just how bad these guys are playing right now. So Jack Suwinski has been a worse Kai Tom, right, up to this point. Let's jump to another guy, Rowdy Tellez, 551 OPS so far. Do you know who had an OPS 25 points higher than Rowdy Tellez during his Pirates career? Another first baseman, Jeff Clement.
Oh.
Pirates legend Jeff Clement, who just got ran out of town because he was so bad.
I'm getting
significantly depressed. Better than Rowdy Tellez up to this point. Let's keep going down the list. Let's go to Jared Triolo, who actually had an RBI today. Jared Triolo, 574 OPS. That is pretty much what Josh Van Meter did as a Pittsburgh Pirate. All right, so we're talking about Jack Suwinski as Kai Tom. Rowdy Tellez is Jeff Clement. Jared Triolo is Josh Van Meter. Let's just keep going down the line, though. O'Neill Cruz, right, who we all thought could maybe be a potential MVP, 591 OPS. That is 70 points below Kevin Newman's Pirates OPS. Kevin Newman was a significantly better hitter than O'Neill Cruz as a Pittsburgh Pirate up to this point in the season. And then he didn't play today, but let's just throw him in the mix. Henry Davis, 524 OPS. That is roughly 40 points below Austin Hedges' career OPS. So when we add all this together, we just get, I mean, those are five people who the Pirates are relying on to just like take steps forward this year. And they're all playing like historically bad Pittsburgh Pirates.
Your dog's way too excited for this.
I know.
I just see the tail go in the background.
She's a big Kaitom fan.
I understand. So now that we got this depressing part out of the way, can we get to the depressing part?
Jeez.
It's brutal. It is absolutely brutal, man. Like, you know what kills me about this right now? Yes, yesterday was a terrible start by Quinn Priester. I get that. And like, he's not really like part of the rotation. We know why he's here right now. But the reason this team was going to be better this year, weren't sure about contending, right? There's questions about that. But this is a surefire. This is going to be a better team. You're still looking mid-70s like as a lock to, you know, as far as wins. Was the hitting. This lineup, Jim. The lineup is the strength. The bullpen is strength. The starting pitching, that's what's going to be kind of weak. It's completely flipped. Like, absolutely flipped. The starting pitching is a true strength. And the problem is, like you say, like when you give up four runs, which is perfectly fine this day and age, you get four runs in a game. It's like we talked about a few weeks ago, like back in 2021, 2022, it's game over. You're done. You score three more runs on the Pirates, you've locked it up. You don't even need to bring in a closer. Just bring in your long man. You got it in the bag. And that's the problem right now. I mean, again, like the caught looking, the strikeouts, it's about, again, today it looked a better approach or a little more aggressive, but still, like you said, like there is just no power on this team. The best they can do is string along three hits. That's good, but it's still bases loaded. That's it. You're not going to get anything better than that. No one's driving anything. It's just they're not doing anything that they were doing in the early part of the season.
Yeah, I mean, the power is just disgusting right now. Suwinski, Tellez, McCutchen, Triolo, all with slugging percentages below 300. Okay, Brian Hayes, again, actually, like his on-base percentage is really kind of propping up his offensive numbers right now. But Cabrian Hayes' slugging percentage right now is 347. That's over 50 points less than his career average. So again, just not driving the ball, just kind of reverting back to his old self too, where like he's not pulling the ball. He's not getting out in front of the plate. He's not catching it in front of the plate. Everything's the other way. He's late on everything. It's just frustrating to watch because I think we all had such high hopes for a lot of these guys. And I'm talking about Hayes, but, and again, Hayes is like, I have some issues with him right now, but he's like way down on the list, but just another guy who we expected more from. And we're seeing 2022 Cabrian Hayes right now, as opposed to 2023 Cabrian Hayes. They all need to be better. Like up and like across the board, they all need to be better. Brian Reynolds has an OPS hovering around 800 right now, which, again, perfectly fine with. But the rest of them, they all have to just be better. All of them.
Yes. I don't know like what more to add to that. I'm sorry. It's just I don't want to overreact, much how I didn't really want to overreact to the strong start. But of course, that strong start made you feel better about things because we thought the offense was good. And that added some validation. Like, okay, I mean, no, they're not going to be like what they were, right? But this is good enough. Like, they will be a solid offensive team. And in the same sense, I don't want to overreact to these past few weeks, but it's unacceptable. And again, like, this is like in like part of the problem with the Pirates for some time now. It's one thing if you have like two or three guys struggling in a lineup. It's another what's the entire lineup, game in, game out, for weeks at a time. And that's what we're at right now, basically. You know, this
it's been the same story for
right
6 days now. I mean, and I guess if you're looking for a bright spot, like, it's 6 days out of a 162 game season, right? Like, I think a lot of these numbers are amplified because it is April 20th, right? If all of this were happening in July and we had a whole 3 months of sample size before this, you know, Jack Sawinski's probably not slugging 297 on July 15th after going through a week of just being terrible, right?
Right.
But it just sucks because this team was looking so good. Like, they were sitting at what, 11 and it said that 9-2 at one point. And now we're at 11 and 10. So we're 2-8 in our last 10.
Yeah.
It's been a bad stretch of baseball. And sample sizes are still small enough right now that when you put together a stretch like this, everybody's numbers just look terrible. And it just amplifies it because, yeah, it's been 3 weeks, right? So we've had 3 weeks worth of a sample size so far, and it isn't looking good for pretty much everybody.
But that's the problem. Like, that's what I don't want to overstate. Like, Philly's overstated. You know, the issue is that it is everybody's entire time. Everybody's numbers look bad because of small sample size, because everyone's looking terrible. And I just don't understand it. I don't understand how an entire team can look so bad for so long. And this just goes back. I don't know. I mean, listen, you know how I've felt about Andy Haynes. I think we've all talked about that. I'm not putting this solely on Andy Haynes, but it's just like, how do you have an entire team do this all at once? I don't know. What needs to be done? Like, that's the thing. You have to figure this out. You need to figure out what has to be done to get this team back on track, at least remotely, at least somebody, one person. I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, going down.
I mean, if you're looking for like a breath of, if you're looking for like some like a breath of fresh air, like Joey Bart has been that, you know. Again, he gets a hit and a walk today. He's been playing really well. Again, it's been limited playing time, but
right,
like, hey, good for Joey Bart, right? Like, all we're doing is asking for people to take advantage of the opportunities, and he's done it. Edward Olivares, another guy, he was 1-for-5 today in the leadoff spot, but like, he's been fine overall. I think Michael A. Taylor too has given you exactly what you expected from him, maybe even a little bit more. You know, he's hovering around 300. OPS is, you know, below 700, but this is what we expected from him, right? Good defense and solid, being a solid number nine hitter is kind of what Michael A. Taylor's doing. So, like,
he was like, what, 2 feet from a home run today off of a righty also, by the way.
Yeah. So like there are things to be somewhat encouraged about here, but at some point, like, you need at the beginning of the season, the people who were important, O'Neill Cruz, Brian Hayes, Brian Reynolds, Jack Sawinski, those guys, Henry Davis, these guys need to do something. And again, Reynolds is holding his own. The rest of them need to be better. Just plain and simple. They need to be better. Like I said, if there's a silver lining, it's April 20th, right? There's 141 games left in this season, right? We're scratching the surface of what this season is. It's not possible for these guys to be this bad for an entire year. Like, they're going through a rough stretch right now. It's going to get better. But right now, they're borderline unwatchable right now.
Let me ask you something. I know we're talking about this team and, you know, the totality of the team and how bad they are. We've gone a little bit like specifics, but what do you do with O'Neill Cruz right now? Because he, as bad as everyone looks, and to my point of view, he just looks awful in every possible which way. Like, I don't know if he knows what the strike zone is anymore these days, whether he's looking or swinging or whatever. But what is it now? Like, the past 38 plate appearances, he has 19 strikeouts.
Yeah, he's got a 40.4% strikeout rate right now. Which you can't have that, right? You can't have that. I don't think there's any like thing that you can do with him just yet. It's again, I still keep going back to this. Like, it's been 3 weeks, right?
Right.
We're 3 weeks into a really, really long season. You need O'Neill Cruz on this team, and you need him performing. Do you maybe just give him some time off for a little bit? Like, I think they wanted to give him a couple days off earlier, but there were some injuries. Cabrian Hayes' injury kind of, you know, messed with that. But maybe you give him 2 or 3 days off to just kind of take a rest, figure things out. You got to remember, he just missed a whole year. So, you know, he's playing every day now. He hasn't done that in a really long time. He wasn't even doing that back in 2022. So I think you maybe have a way to manage his workload a little bit. You can't send O'Neill Cruz down to the minors right now, though. If that's what you're thinking, I think you can maybe tweak the approach. You got to figure something out, because O'Neill Cruz is a very important part of this team. But again, I think there's still a caveat to all of this, in that it's April 20th. It's been 21 days. It's 21 games. It's been 3 weeks. There's still 141 games left in this season.
Yeah.
Cruz's upside is still too big that, like, you can't just not have him in there.
I'm with you. It is frustrating right now. I just don't know where the answers are coming from. I don't. But at any rate, yeah, like I said, he has looked terrible. And I know that's going to be the talk. And I think it's very warranted right now. And I'm sure everyone can say, well, there's 19,000 other things you can talk about. But, I mean, he is one of those 19,000 problems on this team right now. And there are two guys in AAA that are performing. So I just know the Cruz to AAA talk is going to certainly heat up, especially with those two performing, Piguero and Nick Gonzalez. But he does have to play better. But again, I don't know what the answer is, because I don't trust that the hitting coach is going to provide it for him. So that's my only issue. I don't know. I'm frustrated.
I think my thing, I mean, it's incredibly frustrating right now. But I think the only thing you can do right now is just give everybody a little more time.
Right. All right. So outside of that, yeah, like I don't want to talk about. I guess let's just bring this up, because I know there's something you said on Twitter, which I agree with. It just adds to the terrible defense. But, you know, we talked about the first inning, the defense and such. Jack Swinski loses the ball in the outfield. You really concerned about that?
No, I mean, it was this. The sun was clearly in his eyes. It was a rough play. I mean, you got to figure out a way to make the catch. But going into today, the Pirates had the worst outs above average of any outfield in Major League Baseball, negative 8. I'm sorry. Michael A. Yeah. Taylor has +2.
Right.
So everybody except Taylor is at negative 10. And I would imagine that after today, they're at least at negative 11, because that Swinski out was clearly an out. Outfield defense clearly needs to be better. I think that's another reason why, like, the Taylor signing, it's why I like the Taylor signing so much, is because this outfield defense needs to be better. And he's the only one showing right now that he's doing a good job. But Olivares, Swinski, Reynolds, really not doing a great job out there.
And honestly, like, think about that. Like, what if they didn't go after Taylor? Like, what if it was, which we felt they're probably content with a Swinski, Reynolds, and Olivares, Connor Joe, platoon type. It's already the worst. So, yeah. And that'd have been Swinski in center field too, by the way, not even playing the better positions in left and right. But at any rate, yeah, the defense looked terrible. We're going to talk about the offense here. I guess let's get more in depth in the pitching. We talked about Keller like to an extent. But again, I do want to add to this. I mean, you look at the numbers, right? Six innings, four earned runs. That's not good. I think he pitched better than what that shown. Part of it being the first inning that we talked about. But also in the first inning, was it three hits he gave him in the first?
Was it three?
But he only ends up with five hits on the day.
Single, two hits. Two hits in the first.
Two hits, okay. So three hits in the remaining five innings.
Triple, single, single.
Okay, so it was three. Okay, so then, right. Yeah. So two hits in the remaining five innings afterwards. So again, like he did settle down. He had four strikeouts. He had that home run. Again, that was the mistake that made it four runs then. But I do think he pitched much better than the numbers show. But it also wasn't like I felt good about Mitch Keller today. That's how I felt about him. I'll say that much. It was good enough, but it wasn't like, okay, this was Mitch Keller is, I don't want to say back, but it wasn't like, okay, Mitch Keller pitched very, very strong. There was still, again, like the walks was still a bit of an issue. He was still nibbling too much for me. That's all.
Yeah, I feel like what he excelled at, because he put together a couple decent starts in a row, and he was sort of going away from that cutter a little bit, mixing in the sweeper a little bit more. And today he went back to the cutter a lot. Just a lot of hard stuff today. He threw 88 pitches. 25 of those were four-seam fastballs. 23 were sinkers. And 22 were cutters. So you do the math there. 88 pitches. 70 of those 88 pitches were some sort of fastball. If you're counting a cutter as a fastball, which I would. It's a cut fastball, right? So that just... He was effective. Like, he was getting weak contact. He wasn't missing many bats today. He only had four swings and misses. That cutter, though, 10 swings on the cutter, zero missed bats. 11 swings on the sinker, only one missed bat. So, like, he was inducing weak contact, especially on the sinker. But the cutter was getting hit hard. I would like to see him throw that sweeper more, because like that sweeper
is, that looked really good.
It's devastating at times. Like, he, when he's locating that thing, it's got such good movement to it. Like, just go to that a little more often. I want to see him miss more bats. The stuff's too good to only miss four bats in 88 pitches. But again, it was an okay start. Like, I think he kind of labored through it. And he was good enough today to at least keep the Pirates in the game. Again, yeah. It's going to be tough when you're only scoring two runs. You feel like as a pitcher, there's a lot of pressure on you. You got to be perfect. And, you know, the mistake he made in the sixth ended up being a big difference maker. But it was one of those just starts where, like, you're a good pitcher. You didn't really have it today, but you kind of made it through six innings, right? That was kind of the Keller start today.
Yeah, that's basically how I felt about it. It just stinks. Like it still was good enough that this team was in it. You could have still squeaked out a victory, but the offense just doesn't allow it anymore. To move on from that, I mean, Luis Ortiz came in after him. Luis Ortiz, he had an inning, two walks. Yeah,
his first inning his first inning was a disaster. He couldn't throw a strike. He was able to get out of it. His second inning, he looked a lot better. And then Holderman worked himself out of a jam, you know, in the ninth inning to at least keep it close. Like, the Pirates were in this game. I mean, they were within two runs. I know that kind of seems, and it seemed completely insurmountable throughout the entire game just because of the way this offense is performing. But the pitching did a good enough job today to give the team a chance to win. It was just the offense, again, just not taking advantage of opportunities.
Can we end on a good note?
I guess. Try.
Colin Holderman looked good. And you want to talk about the sweeper. That sweeper looked devastating.
Colin Holderman.
Not that it really mattered.
Yeah.
He looked pretty good today.
Yeah, stuff looked good today. He was hitting 98 with a sinker. He threw a ton of sweepers today. And super weak contact off of that. So yeah, he looked good. And I said, I think Ortiz looked good that second inning. Just the first inning, he had no idea where the ball was going.
Right. And granted, Ortiz has looked solid this year. Just one inning. He got through it. No damage done. But yeah. But Holderman looked pretty sexy today. I'll say that. And again, that sweeper looked really good. This is why when you talk about Colin Holderman late innings, you know, like we see how good he can be. He can be consistent with that, right? That'll be big for this club, as long as it'll lead to hold on to.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he looked really good. And again, that's why I said outside of him, I feel like, and Brian Reynolds, there's not much to talk about positively.
Nope. I think that's it. I mean, tomorrow Pirates need to win a game. So Martin Perez tomorrow versus Josh Winkowski. Josh Winkowski's the guy. Remember in the Arizona Fall League against Kanan Smith and Jigba.
Is that the fight?
This was the guy who got in a fight with Kanan Smith and Jigba was Josh Winkowski. So
should they call up CSN? Just
they call up CSN. I think Gonzalez was on that team too. I think Davis was on that. He was hitting up. I think he hit Gonzalez and then he hit Davis and then he hit. Yeah, it was like he hit like a bunch of Pirates in a row and CSN was like, "Nah, we ain't having this." So, but no, Winkowski tomorrow against Martin Perez. Martin Perez revenge game tomorrow. So,
and I hope he brings it for multiple reasons.
This team's gonna need it.
Team needs a win, and this team has he has to pitch like a complete game shutout, and hope it doesn't go to extras.
Yeah.
But yeah, so big game for him. He's pitching great. Hopefully, it continues. I don't know. Tomorrow's Sunday. I say that because we complain about the Sunday lineups, and I don't know. I'm kind of praying for a Sunday lineup. Give us your worst. They might be our best. Give everyone a day off. Get Aleek Williams bad in here.
I can't believe I'm saying this in the year of our Lord 2024, but put Aleek Williams in the lineup.
Put him at first, even.
Aleek Williams needs to play at some point. Yeah. And I'm not saying this because of Aleek Williams. I'm saying this because everyone needs a day off. So put him in there somewhere.
Ain't that the truth? So I guess with that said, let's get out of here. No sandwiches. Sorry, guys. Manny's, they're breathing a little bit better today though. Now, they're nervous. We had them nervous at first. All these sandwiches given away. Now, all right, we're cooling off a bit. We're not going to go bankrupt. But let's try to get them to go bankrupt again, please. Can I get one win? Just one win?
Yeah, let's get a win. Let's just get a win.
Let's get out of here, though. We'll see you again tomorrow. Thanks for tuning in, as always. Bye-bye.
See you guys.
Hey, you all. Thank you for watching. I know we try to provide the most entertaining content that we can. And we'd love to spread it to as many people as possible. So I know it doesn't seem like a lot, but if you could take the 5 seconds to like this video and subscribe to the page, it helps out so much more than you know. Thank you, and let's go Bucks. Oh,